You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, April 16th, 2026, and welcome to episode 179 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about the new film Exit 8. I'm going to keep it mostly spoiler-free, but there will be some specifics about the beginning of the movie, so there's your warning. But let's start things off with a look at the headlines from this past week. Video game console prices are getting more and more expensive, but there might be hope that Game Pass could be getting cheaper, or at least getting some cheaper options. In an internal memo obtained by The Verge, new Xbox chief Asha Sharma suggested that the company is planning to reevaluate their subscription tiers and that, quote, Game Pass has become too expensive for players. The letter to the Xbox team goes on to say, Game Pass is central to gaming value on Xbox. It's also clear that the current model isn't the final one. Short-term, Game Pass has become too expensive for players, so we need a better value equation. Long-term, we will evolve Game Pass into a more flexible system, which will take time to test and learn around. End quote. So as you recall, Xbox recently hiked up the price on Game Pass, and a current subscription to Game Pass Ultimate is $30 a month, a price which I'm fairly certain drove off quite a few members. Some recent reporting suggested that the price hike was due to their losing more than $300 million in sales due to Call of Duty being on the service, and that they're contemplating removing future Call of Duty titles from Game Pass. Now, I personally think that if they go down the road of some games are going to be included and some aren't, that's going to create more confusion and frustration among subscribers. But I am glad to see that they're at least exploring some more affordable options. One of the trends in gaming that I think is often overlooked by mainstream games media is the anomaly game. Go ask your kids or check out some of the popular streamers on Twitch and you'll discover that there are dozens, if not maybe hundreds, of these games available. They're all basically twists on the old games that you'd find, you know, like in a highlights magazine or, you know, activity book, where you look at two seemingly identical images and try to spot the differences between them. In the gaming space, they often translate this into like a horror type game. And my first experience with these types of games was The Exit 8, which I did an episode on just about a year ago, I think. The premise of the game was that you were walking through a repeating loop in a metro station in Japan. And in order to break the loop and escape, you had to pay attention to the details in the hallway you're walking through. And if you spotted an anomaly, something bizarre, you needed to turn around and walk the other way. If nothing was different, you needed to continue walking forward. Get it correct enough times and you reach the exit and escape. Sometimes the anomalies were subtle, like a slight change on a poster on the wall. Other times it was obvious, like blood dripping from the walls. It was cool. It was an effective idea that led to a fun and creepy game. I really enjoyed the game, but at no point did I think to myself, this would make a great movie. But I was wrong, because not only did they make a movie of The Exit 8, but I think it's probably one of the more well-done video game adaptations that I've ever seen, really, honestly. Released last year in Japan, it made its U.S. debut in theaters this past weekend. And what I think it does so perfectly is that it adapts the source material with amazing precision, but the parts of the story that they do expand on specifically for the film, they're a perfect fit with what was already there. It's written and directed by Genki Kawamura and stars Kazunari Ninomiya as the man trapped in the loop. As the film begins, he gets a phone call from his ex-girlfriend while he's on his way to work in the subway tunnels under Tokyo. She tells him that she's pregnant and at the hospital, struggling with the decision of whether or not to keep the baby. I don't remember. I don't think they outright say that she's considering getting an abortion, but that's the impression that I got from it. So he's walking through the tunnels in this sort of daze as he processes this news, this information that he just heard. And after he sort of snaps back to, he realizes that he's been walking through the same stretch of hallway repeatedly over and over. The same maintenance doors, the same posters on the wall, the same man in the dress shirt and the briefcase passing him by, like a video that is on repeat over and over. After repeatedly trying to escape by running either forwards or backwards, to no avail, he notices a sign on the wall that seems to spell out what the rules of, you know, whatever this is that he's trapped in. First, do not overlook any anomalies. Second, if you find an anomaly, turn back immediately. And finally, if you don't find an anomaly, do not turn back. Do all of this and you'll find your way to exit 8. At this point in the film, if you've played the game before, you'll notice the incredible attention to detail in recreating the look of the game precisely. I mean, this is the corridor from the game. The same doors, the same air ducts, the same fluorescent lights, everything is in its place. I think maybe the one thing that they might have changed are the actual posters that are on the wall. Some might be the same, but they looked a little different to me. It's clear, though, that they took the job of recreating the look and the vibe of this game very seriously. And as he begins to understand what he is supposed to be doing, the man begins the process of trying to memorize everything that he sees so that he doesn't miss any details or anomalies. And as he goes through the process over and over, it was funny because it felt a bit like I was, you know, playing the game. As he was going through the motions, looking at everything around him, I, as the viewer, was also looking at every object on the screen and thinking, you know, is that door in the same place? Did the color of that light change? It kind of felt like, you know, watching a playthrough of the game at first. And I was kind of worried a little bit that, you know, that's all that this would be, a step-by-step recreation of the game, you know, as cool as that is. But then the movie does veer off a bit and explore some new ideas. I'm obviously not going to spoil those scenes because I thought it was a lot of fun to be surprised when they would throw something new at you. And I think those moments are all well done. They give you something new to ponder while staying faithful to what the game is doing. It fits really well with what was already established. I was also a little worried that as a film, they'd be tempted to make this more palatable to a movie audience and explain every little thing that happens and lose the bizarre ambiguity that made the game so interesting in the first place. But they did a really great job in that regard. I didn't need to be worried. Like the game, Exit 8, the movie, is a weird, unique, and sometimes unsettling journey. I wouldn't describe it as being particularly scary, but there are definite moments that creeped me the hell out. And Nino Mia's performance in the lead role does a really good job of showing how a situation like this could drive someone to really lose their mind. I think it's one of the more successful video game adaptations yet, and Charlie and I both had a lot of fun discussing our different theories about what happened in the movie on our drive home. If you're familiar with the game, I think it's a no-brainer. It's a must-see. But also, if you're into, you know, psychological-type horror films, you should definitely give this a shot, too. So, as a gamer dad, I never tried to push the games that I like, or gaming in general, really, on my kids. I'm not trying to create some little clone of myself who likes all the same games and music or movies as I do. That's just weird. I let them develop their own tastes and explore the things that interest them. You know, be individuals. Over the years, they've been, you know, when they do get into games, they've mostly been interested in things like Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox, that kind of thing. The kinds of games that were, you know, popular with their friends. Recently, though, their tastes have shifted a bit more and aligned more with the kind of games that I like. And this just happened completely on their own. For Sam, it's been with the game Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. She is obsessed with those movies. She watches them nonstop. She draws the characters. She's trying to learn the Na'vi language. She is in deep. And the game is her first leap into the world of giant, open world, do all the things marked on the map Ubisoft games. I've watched quite a bit of it because, of course, she wants Dad to see all the cool moves she knows. And it looks like a really solid, well-made game. You know, the visuals are nice. Combat looks fun. And it's loaded with cool, you know, missions and objectives. And she got the hang of it pretty quick, considering that this was kind of her first big action game. And with Charlie, it's recently been Resident Evil. He watched me play through Requiem and decided that he kind of wanted to get into it. So he tried the RE1 remake, but honestly, even with the remake of that game, it feels pretty old and it's tough to get into, especially for someone, you know, like him, younger, who never had to wrestle with tank controls and pre-rendered backgrounds before. So he just watched a recap on YouTube and then jumped into the remake of 2 instead, and that's gone much better. The modern remakes just play so much better. I told him to, you know, start out on easy difficulty since he's never played a survival horror game before, and then maybe when he moves on to, you know, the next game, he can bump it up a bit. It's pretty fun, though. He's always hated jump scares in movies or games, so seeing him jump out of his skin when a zombie pops out of a locker or something is highly amusing. I'm sure seeing the kind of games that I play has, you know, influenced their choice in games, but again, it's fun to see how they came to these of their own choice. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.